time I saw flowers in your hair. See, it takes a boy to live, takes a man to pretend he was there. So then we grew a little and knew a lot, and now we demonstrated it to the cops. And all the things we said, we were self-assured. Cause it's a long road to wisdom, but it's a short one to being ignored. Me and my eyes, me and my heart, me and my eyes, me and my heart. So now I think that I can love you back.
We'll be right back. lip. I've been keeping my eye on the movement. I can't see no room for improvement. But why you all over there on your Jack Jones? You need to let me get behind your backbone. Cause I'm the man for the job, let me work here. I won't waste no time, I make it worth it. 100% I make it worth it. You got a body to die for, let me work here. Now it's murder in the dance floor. I wanna take this further than the dance floor. I ain't fool's fool, but I'm still hardcore. You're gonna give me everything I ask for. It's not a long team, you're the boom team. Maybe more than a hotel room team. I'll never know if I just walk past. I really wanna dance, so I guess I'll just pass.
She ain't no oh. Look at those thighs, it's in her eyes. She's good to go. She can satisfy my mind, body, and
come and dance with me, come and dance with me. Come and dance with me, come and dance with me. I see you glance with me, that's why I'm asking B. So let's party, B, come and dance with me.
If I'm out on my own, then I can look at you, looking at me. If I'm out on a date, then I just shut my eyes, then I can see. Get away from the bar, tell your boyfriend, hold your jaw, and dance with
you
me.
Dance with me, that's why I'm asking B. So let's party, B, come and dance with me. Yo, it goes on and on. I see you get excited like this is my song. You think I wanna get involved, you are not wrong. Cause I've been waiting for this moment all night long. So I creep, creep, creep like to your sea. I got my left eye checking out your scenery. I got my right eye right where it needs to be. No matter how I look at it, you look good to me. Still, I'm looking for the perfect view. The way I see it, that's right next to you. I know you probably heard it before, but still, I love it when you flex like that for real. So don't stop doing what you do when you do it. I just wanna be a part of it when you do it. I feel like a wally if I don't pursue it. And I can't go through it, so let's
she
get through it.
No, oh. Look at those thighs, it's in her eyes. She's good to go. She can satisfy my mind, body, and
come and dance with me, come and dance with me. Come and dance with me, come and dance with me. I see you glance with me, that's why I'm asking B. So let's party, B, come and dance with me. I know you didn't come out to stand and stare. You bought new shoes and you did up your hair. You made a real effort tonight and it shows. I can tell by your face you don't wanna be alone. Cause the mood is right and the time is now. And if you can't do it, I'll show you how. What you gotta do is get loose, let go. Just throw a couple shakes, put your skills on show.
If I'm out on my own, then I can look at you, looking at me. If I'm out on a date, then I just shut my eyes, then I can see. Get away from the bar, tell your boyfriend, hold your jaw, and start
to you glass with me. That's why I'm asking B, so let's party B, come and dance with me.
If I'm out on my own, then I can look at you, looking at me. If I'm out on a date, then I just shut my eyes, then I can see. Get away from the bar, tell your boyfriend, hold your jaw, and dance with me.
I'm a scary gargoyle on a tower that you made with plastic power. Your rhinestone eyes are like factories far away. Where the paralytic dreams that we all seem to keep drive on engines till they weep. We're future pixels in factories far away. So call the mainland from the beach. Your pod is now washed up in bleach. The waves are rising for this time of year. And nobody knows what to do with the heat. Under sunshine pylons we'll meet while rain is falling like rhinestones from the sky.
Your love's like rhinestones falling from senses be praised. Ooh, my senses be praised.
This is DJ Ding, and you are listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
Thanks for tuning in.
Falling in love.
Some technical difficulties, but we are back on. I'm in this class called Documentary Theory and History, and earlier tonight I had to conduct this interview with this girl in the class, and so I have a bunch of these questions, and I figured, like, I don't know, I put like a decent amount of thought into it, and I think they're pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, hit me with them.
I'm just gonna fire these off at you and see what you end up saying.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so let's just start off easy. How do you sign off on your emails?
How do I sign off on my emails? I usually just put like best regards, and then with my name underneath. I don't have like a whole fancy thing.
No matter like who you're emailing though?
I mean, if it's someone who's like doing me a favor or something like that, then I would be like, you know, thank you so much, or you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, I'm pretty boring when it comes to that sort of thing.
No, like I feel like I've asked like a decent amount of people this question, just because the other day a TA emailed me with like and signed off with cheers, and I was like, oh that's yeah. Kind of like, you know, like I know something about that.
Well, I've seen that like, plenty.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, you haven't seen that? Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, fair.
Because my go-to is always like best.
Right, or, right. Or, like, yeah, I mean best is easy.
Okay.
Can't go wrong with best.
What do you think is the most interesting thing about yourself?
The most interesting thing about myself? Kind of puts me on the spot. I guess something interesting is something that is not normally seen, right? Is that a fair definition of interesting to work with?
I know, because I feel like whenever you meet someone new, at least for me, there's always... to a degree, like I do follow like a script to an extent. I think like there are questions that I know that people commonly like look at me and end up asking me,
such as
just like, you know, like, oh, what's your tattoo of, is that a like Europe, like, you know, where are you from, all those like common things,
right,
what's your major, you know, like but yeah, I don't know, like, so I, like, kind of know, like, I have an arsenal of information about myself that I've filtered out throughout the years, and I know people want to hear, but I'm wondering what yours is.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, I mean, that I feel, is not the question, what is the most interesting thing about you, though, right?
Right. No, yeah, they're definitely, like, two separate questions. But
so which one do you want me to answer?
Both.
Okay, first answer, most interesting thing, I guess, the uniqueness in my origin / heritage, having a Chinese father and a British mother and growing up in Hong Kong. I guess that's interesting.
Right. See, because that's the thing, right? This like project, the whole point of me having to come up with these questions is like our assignment is to create like a mini 2-minute biopic of each other.
Uh-huh.
And so she was asking me questions that she had of her own too. And I think as like, because, you know, we're like both international kids, and a lot of times I was talking to like, you know, my housemate Hyundai about this too.
Mm-hmm.
We like take that for granted. Not in like the tradition, like what I mean by that is like, I forget that people here find that interesting.
Right, yeah, yeah, for sure.
I don't think that's interesting about myself, and I know that's like, you know, me speaking from like a, I don't know, maybe like kind of elitist position.
Yeah.
But like, because when I told her, she asked me like where I was from, I told her I grew up in Hong Kong and like now live in California. That was what she thought was like the most interesting part about me and what she wanted to like delve deeper into, and like that was, I don't know, kind of sad for me because I'm like, oh, I feel like...
Well, yeah, there's an interesting conversation to be had here, I think, about identity.
Yeah.
And I may have already had this conversation with you about identity, I forget, but I think identity is like a fluid thing, and I think that identity is what sets us apart from the masses, right? That's a very basic definition that you can take, but if you extend that into a place where the masses kind of change. So for example, for me, I am half Chinese, half British.
Yeah.
But when I'm in the US, I identify as Asian. And when I'm in Hong Kong, I identify as white because that's the sort of thing that makes me stick out. That's an identifying factor per se. So I think for people here hearing that, you know, you're not from like, you know, bloody Maine or something, that makes
Connecticut.
Yeah, right. That's like the interesting part. And so whereas for you, maybe, I mean, I don't know, say you're in a place where you feel like that is home, what would your identity be? Maybe, because I mean, that would be silly to be, oh, I'm from, you know, Hong Kong / California, because that's where home is for you, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I've, like, thought about this a lot, just especially, like, you know, being in college and going to classes, like, you know, icebreakers and stuff, like, oh, like, say where you're from or a fun fact about you or, like, your pronoun.
I hate the fun facts.
No, I've never, nothing
those
about
are the worst.
Fun.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything right now. But for me, like, of all the things, even, like, that, like, come into, like, building identity, so, like, gender, you know, sexual orientation, race, nationality, whatever. Like, for me, it's always just been, like, what's, like, anchoring for me is, like, my gender, I would say. Like, as, so, like, cis female, like, that's what I think dictates most of my, like, actions and thoughts and feelings and how I am compared to, like, all the other aspects of my identity, like, my sexuality or my
fair enough.
Or my race has never really been, like, something that, not like I like reject it or like don't acknowledge it, it's just like never really been something that I would list first as something that.
So that's really interesting. When I did training to be an orientation leader at Tufts, we had to do, we did a bunch of, you know, exercises that got you thinking about identity and like, you know, it's sort of with the intent of making you aware of other people's identities and like not to be sort of, you know, weird or rude about them. And one activity that they had us do was we made a pie chart. We had to make a pie chart, and within that pie chart, you had to divide up your identity. So maybe I put, I don't know, 20% heterosexual male, because that's like a part of my identity. Mm-hmm. But I probably put something like 50% race, because I felt like race was the biggest thing that made me stick out here.
Right.
Whereas a heterosexual male is not, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
However, for people who were not heterosexual, they put their sexual orientation as like the 50%, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on, I guess, what your background reference is.
No, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Like, even from, like, I'm not a heterosexual male or a heterosexual female, but like for me, if I had to like come up with a pie chart, my sexuality would probably only be 20% as well.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah. And I can't tell if like that has to do with the fact that most people don't think that I'm gay, and so like that's just never really been something that people have tied to me, because, you know, like a lot of, I feel like how you see yourself has a lot to do with how other people see you as well, or like the information you gather from how other people react to you.
Sure.
And that's just like not a salient part about me according to like society.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean, there are people that are like gay, and there are people that are like quote unquote like so gay, you know, where it's like a big part of who they are. I mean, I guess like that just isn't the case for everyone, obviously, right?
Right.
So it affects our identity in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you superstitious about anything?
Superstitious? No, I don't think there's anything I'm superstitious about.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm actually really surprised to hear this.
You're surprised?
I'm surprised. I feel like I feel like you would have, like, some sort of, like, ritual or, like, before a no-man you game, you, like, shower for 5 minutes longer. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think football is definitely the area where I would be most superstitious.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't actually think of any superstitions that I hold. I mean, I think it's nonsense, isn't it? Like,
well, I mean, I don't know. Is it nonsense?
Yeah. I think we can basically conclusively say that most superstitions are total nonsense. In my opinion.
Do you not have attachments to like certain objects or articles of clothing? I don't know, like for me, if I'm about to walk into an exam or like I'm about to like meet someone or like go into something where I'm uncomfortable, I'll wear like there are certain things that I'll wear that like I feel I don't want to use the word luck because it's not really like luck, but I just like feel better in it.
Well, that see, I think that some superstitious things, such as if you would consider that superstitious, I think that that's actually quite interesting because that is a theory that is actually backed by some, you know, some pretty good science, some pretty good evidence. So, for example, for examinations, if you dress in a smart way, you will probably do better on a test. Even it could be by like, you know, 1%, it could be by like a small amount, but it subliminally affects your mindset. So I would say that isn't a superstition.
Yeah, that makes sense from a psychological. You just like feel better about yourself.
Right. Yeah. You walk more confidently, perhaps. Like, you know, these things can affect your performance.
Right. If you see a spider, do you kill it or do you put it outside?
Wait, can we go back to the superstition thing? Is there anything that you are superstitious about?
I mean, okay, I'm pretty vocal about the fact that I believe in ghosts.
Wait, sorry, what?
No, like,
oh my god.
I
need to talk about this another time also. But yeah, go on.
No, like I consider myself like a, for the most part, rational and logical person.
I did as well until you talked about the ghost thing.
But I don't know, I just feel like I would never fuck with a Ouija board. Ever. Like, I would never do anything to invite unwanted spirits into my life.
Oh my god.
And I just think it's kind of, I don't know, almost even like egotistical to think that there isn't. Like, or maybe it's egotistical to think that there is an afterlife, but I think like to think that we're like existing by ourselves without like, you know, any other type of presence is kind of like,
well, I mean, there's animals, that's another type of presence.
Okay, well, yeah, like there are animals and like insects and whatever and probably aliens, but I just feel
right,
like, which I also very much believe in, but spirits, and I know I've had everyone, this is definitely backed by the fact that everyone in my family has had some sort of paranormal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they're lying to me, I don't know.
No, I mean, I don't think they would be lying to you. That's not really the point. It's whether or not, because, I mean, humans are pattern-seeking creatures, right? So, you know, you're working late at night and a book falls off your shelf and you think, oh my god, there's a ghost, because you don't know why a book fell off that shelf, and, like, you're thinking, you know, mm-hmm. maybe something else did it, right? And then we attribute it to something else.
I think, like, for me, it's never... See, I've never had, like, a book fall off the shelf type mm-hmm. of book. I guess I have never actually had, like, hard, like, evidence to, like, indicate that.
No one has.
Right. Okay.
Just throwing that out there. No one has.
Okay. I think that the people on, what is it, like Ghost Hunters or Ghost,
yeah,
would beg to differ. But anyway.
Well.
For me, it's been like, there will be times in my life when I feel like I could be at home completely safe. Like my housemates are asleep or whatever. And I'm just like getting a glass of water. And then suddenly I feel this really like sharp, just like twinge of fear in my heart, or just like sudden discomfort that comes completely out of nowhere. And like
I don't think that's out of nowhere. I think that's completely normal, you know, it's late at night.
But it's not like, I mean, you've been to like the house I live in now, right? Uh-huh. It's like the lights are pretty much always on because Bill doesn't believe that it's, you know, good feng shui to come
home. Oh my god, right, really?
To a dark home. Like, that's hysterical. Scary about that house, but not even, you know, even like in the house that I grew up in, that I'm, these familiar spaces, suddenly like mm-hmm. I feel so scared and I'm like running up the stairs back into my room, and I always think like something must have triggered that, because I'm not thinking about anything.
Yeah, and I imagine that something is a result of the fact that we are derivatives of animals, not computers, right? So what I mean by that is when you're scared of something, you'll probably clench up in like you'll get paralyzed. I know that when I was a kid, if I was, you know, walking around the house late at night, same kind of thing, just to get a glass of water, sometimes I could get so scared that I was paralyzed. Now, I don't think that's because there was a ghost. I think that's just because your brain will, you know, fear things you don't know, and if it's a bit eerie and a bit dark, that throws your brain off, and you can feel emotions from that, from that sort of, I mean, it was a survival mechanism, right? I mean, if you think about it, that's the origin of it.
Though. That's why I feel this way.
Yeah, like, but the survival mechanism. Yeah, but you're not trying to survive from ghosts. You're trying to survive from predators, real human predators made of matter, right? Not some spooky, mysterious energy source which does not have observable energy.
I mean, I would be careful what you're saying right now, because you don't know who's in this room.
To be fair, yeah, this studio is a creepy studio.
It is. Oh my god. Okay. No, how can you be having this conversation? Do you remember, I think it was the beginning
the first
of the
night.
Semester, yeah, when we came back, and some, like, that was a weird feeling that I feel like we both
shared. Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
And I would absolutely in no way attribute it to a ghost.
Okay, why were we both so creeped out?
Because we were in an unfamiliar situation. There was music playing that we weren't sure of. It was kind of echoing around the hallway, right? We didn't really know what we were doing, and it was late at night, and that's scary. And you know what? Sometimes I think even our brains can glitch, and it doesn't have to be... We don't always have to have logical reasons to be scared. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll get scared for absolutely nothing, the same way that you'll worry over absolutely nothing.
Right.
And I don't think that the correct thing to do in those situations is to attribute it to bloody ghosts.
I don't know. I'm always like, oh, my brain is definitely like processing something faster than I can actually, like, you know, make sense of right now.
Uh-huh.
And that's what's like causing me to feel these emotions. As a psych major, I should drop my major. This is incorrect.
Oh, goodness.
No, but yeah. No, that's fair. It's not like I don't think. It's like, I don't hardcore believe it. Like, I don't change the way that I live day to day based on this belief that I have, but I definitely, I just like definitely acknowledge or entertain the possibility, you know?
I just think that there's no reason to think that ghosts exist. Mm-hmm. So why think that they exist? What does that help, right? Like,
it doesn't. It's just like...
Well, actually, that's a very good interjection... intersection? I don't know what the correct word is. But that's a very good play into religion, because when people say that they have, they feel like they've seen God, or they've met God in some kind of vision, or like they feel like God touched them. If you ask them what actually happened, it's always very vague. It's never like Jesus literally opened the door and was like, yo, what's up? Like, I'm real. Like, here are some things that you should do to be a better person. It's always like, oh, like their heart twinged a little bit when they were looking at the sky, and then they felt like they were communicating with...
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
I think
it's a survival mechanism.
Sorry?
Don't you think, like, these little instances, like, that we attribute such, like, great meaning to is a survival mechanism? So we feel like...
I mean, yeah, we're as animals, as an existence of animals, we're built on survival mechanisms.
Okay.
You know, rational thought, critical thinking, this kind of developed as, like, an after, you know, like, a side product of, if you will, of a survival mechanism,
okay.
You know?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's so unknown.
Here's a fun fact. In sometime during the 1800s, I forget the chemical, and I also forget the date, but a certain type of gas lamp was popular that burned a certain type of gas.
Mm-hmm.
And in those, say, 20 years, I think this was around the same time that Shakespeare was writing, so if that places you, so be it. But there was a huge increase in the spotting, or the recorded spottings of ghosts, right? And now, looking back on that, we can see that it's because of that chemical that was so often used in gas lamps. When people, you know, if you're staying up late writing, you'd have that gas lamp burning the whole time. That chemical, when burned, produced another chemical that is known to cause hallucinogenic reactions.
Oh.
So therein, you know, their brains just like freaked out and like saw a ghost.
Where can I inquire? Such a chemical. That's great. That's really interesting, actually. Wow.
Right?
I didn't even... How did they figure that out? I feel like...
I think that they just used those lamps. No one really knew, because everyone's just like, oh, I saw ghosts. And then, like, later on, some clever scientist was like, hey, wait, like, they were burning that chemical for this period of time before they switched to a different one or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that chemical is known to produce, you know, hallucinations. And let's see if there's any other correlated trends. Yeah.
Good on people.
Good on humans, right?
Yeah, good on humans.
Yeah.
We're great. back to the spider question, I actually do think is a really interesting indicator of character.
That's a tough... So remind me of the question again.
So you see a spider. It's like a decent-sized spider. May or may not be pregnant.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, so do you kill it? Or are you like the type of person that, like, you know, puts it on a piece of paper and, like, brings it outside?
Yeah, I'll probably kill it.
But there
will be like maybe I have these memories of maybe when I was a few years younger, like in the shower, and there'd be a fly sort of flying around in the shower with me, and I'd be like, look at this little creature, because you know I'm in the shower, I'm not thinking about anything else, and I'm like, oh, this like this thing, it's like doing its own thing, like, and of course in that moment I was like, no, I'm not gonna kill it, because I felt so like zen and like connected and everything, all that crap.
You and the fly showering together.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, maybe this is guilty of me. I mean, I don't know. I don't have that much sympathy for insects just because I don't think that they're able to comprehend, like, Total Pain. Someone can set the record straight on this, if like feel free to correct me, sort of thing. But their understanding of emotion and pain is definitely like not on the same level as like animals, apes. And so I don't feel much remorse when killing them.
Interesting.
Yeah. And ultimately, like, humans kill them. Yeah, maybe a snake kills them, right? Like, that's just how life is in the animal world.
This is, like, pretty tangential. Have you heard about the, what country is this? I want to say Russia, but I feel like I'm always going to think Russia. But they're training, like, there are these 4 bald eagles, I believe, that are being trained to, like, knock down drones whenever enters like a specific area that it should be in.
And right, that's really interesting.
But it's honestly really messed up in the sense, okay, it's just 4 eagles, like it's fine, it's not going to disrupt the entire species,
right?
But they're like attached, so they're training them to basically like they attach like food on these like, you know,
drones,
like drones, so that they think that, you know, if I knock down a drone,
right.
But it's like completely changing their like hunting habits, right?
Mm-hmm,
because now they're seeking drones instead of actual prey. And I don't know, like, because I was watching a video on it last night and thinking, like, yes, I can see how this can be, like, very effective.
Like, is it ethical and stuff like that?
Yeah, right? Because we're talking about how, like, animals, like, they're animals, but they're animals.
Like, how much can we manipulate?
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the ethical verdict on that, really.
I don't know where I stand on it either.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
And to be honest, bald eagles being used to being trained to hunt down drones is probably the most like petty form of animal abuse that we can see, compared to, you know, the other like very serious animal abuses and stuff like that. So on that note, I guess I would just be like, you know, like it's happening. You know, it's happening to a very small population of bald eagles, and to be honest, I think they're plenty happy to be hunting down drones. And if they don't find something, you know, sometimes like that happens in the animal kingdom as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching Planet Earth 2. I don't know, have you watched that?
Yes.
Brilliant television. You watched that, right? Do you know the last episode on cities?
I'm not following it that way.
Oh my god, you have to watch the last episode. It's fascinating. Hong Kong's in it for like a brief 3 minutes. Anyway, they talk about these, they basically talk about how birds, animals, etc. have adapted to the, you know, humans forming huge settlements and cities and stuff like that. And there's also like really interesting like ways in which that they have adapted, you know, like for example, pigeons, who have currently adapted to no longer really fear anything, because that's like an effective survival mechanism, because they know that if they don't fear anything, they can probably go get that chip off your plate and like, you know, run away with it. Well, that lack of fear has actually been taken advantage of by a fish who normally eats other fish, but like will now swim to, you know, ponds and stuff where pigeons would lie, and like the pigeons don't care because they don't suspect anything, and the fish will start eating pigeons.
There are fish that eat pigeons.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
What?
Mm-hmm. And another thing is, like, you know, New York City, right? You can't imagine that's like, you know, a huge thing of any kind of animal life, really. Mm-hmm. But peregrine falcons have adapted like amazingly in New York City, because they have all these amazing perches that they can just, like, you know, stand on and like look down, and like those huge building, the buildings are so crazy tall, they get to like reach like crazy speeds in hunting their prey, and that's like a huge advantage for them. So there's lots of ways in which like our human involvement has affected like
has
the hunting
helped.
Lives.
We have helped
we have helped as well as hindered. It's quite interesting for those that adapt.
That's really
that
is. I never thought about that. I guess I don't particularly like taking like a super for or against stance when it comes to like these specific type of issues, because I feel like you're gonna go in loops, you know.
It's
really say. But yeah, I didn't even like consider that.
Right.
Yeah, that is really interesting.
Yeah. By the way, just on that ghost thing, right?
Oh my god. Because it's still past the ghost. Okay.
Hey, we'll move past the ghost after I say this quick thing. If you are a ghost and listening to this channel, please come down to the studio. We can have a conversation.
That's not
You can demonstrate
funny.
To me your existence, and
oh my god.
And then we'll have a nice chat.
I am not walking home with you tonight. I'm so terrified.
Seriously, it's nothing to be afraid of.
Okay, it's not even a fear. It's just I would like to be considerate to those that have passed prior to my existence, and even like during my existence, you know. Like, I just, it's all good.
Anyway.
Just like weird, you know, like when my grandfather passed away, my grandma saw like a, it was like a white butterfly or something, like flew into their house. And then I think she killed it, funny, in the theme of killing insects, but she like killed it just because like, I don't know, it was like a nuisance, and then realized like, wait, that was totally like,
oh my god.
Wow. To this day, she's like really cut up about it.
Oh
like,
no.
Kind of bad. No, even like I can find humor in that story, but like, she can't.
Jesus.
Yeah. All right, let's think of, let me try and pick like a more open ended, good wrap up question.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, this is funny. Do you think you've. Yeah, this, I have one written down where it says, uh-huh. like, do you think you've peaked?
I think that I've
peaked. Do you think you've peaked?
I really bloody hope not, because this would be a low peak. do I think I've peaked? No, I don't think. I hope that I haven't peaked.
Do you believe people peak? Like, do you think?
No, to be honest, I don't. Because I mean, if you're talking about peaks, it's like how do you a peak? You know, graph of X versus time, right?
I have an ES2 exam tomorrow. I don't need to be hearing.
No, you do need to be hearing this. No, but seriously, I mean, that's how you would define a peak. If you have, like, you know, the maximum value on an XT graph, right? Now, the thing is, like, what is X? What is that amplitude function that you're measuring the peak? Like, success?
Right.
Happiness?
No, for sure. There's so many.
There's so many ways of...
It, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that if you're going for something like success or happiness... I mean, like, am I successful now as a college student? Like, I don't know, maybe. Like, but I can only be successful at what I'm doing right now. Like, I'm not a 40-year-old, you know, master mechanical engineer, head of a company. Do you know what I mean? So I can't be successful by that metric.
Uh-huh.
So I think just, you know, by doing the right decisions and like just being happy, you know, making the right decision for yourself and like being happy in the situations that you are in, I think that would be the best way to peak. Now, the thing is, that is hopefully something you do all of your life. So it wouldn't be a peak. It would be like a straight line.
Right.
You know?
No, I agree. Last thing, though. What's, like, the first thing that you notice about someone? I asked this because, like, the girl that I asked, this to, her answer was, like, voices. Like, but she feels so strongly about this specific, like, feature about people. To her, it's even, like, a
deal breaker.
Just, like, the way people speak and the way they sound.
Huh.
Yeah.
Sorry, so you said that...
Like, just, like, things that you look for, even, like, when you first meet someone, are there things that, like, jump out to you? Because there are definitely things that jump out to me.
I mean, I think, like, facial appearance.
Well,
that's probably the obvious first thing. Accents, maybe? Accents can be interesting. They can place you. I mean, you don't tend to get a huge variety of accents here, really.
That's what
but,
I was
like,
thinking, yeah, like...
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have an answer for that?
I don't know. I mean, I've been thinking about it a lot. I think there are certain mannerisms that I definitely, like, pick up on with people. One that, for some reason, I look out for is, like, whether or not someone courtesy laughs.
Oh.
You know what I mean, right?
That's like, interesting. Yeah.
Actually, though, because I've been in situations, like, and most often in, like, type of, like, group project situations where someone will make, like, we don't know each other that well. We're all kind of, like, basically strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone makes kind of, like, a really dry or, like, just not funny joke. And then no one.
No, yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, I always courtesy laugh just because it's a way to, like, mediate the discomfort.
Uh-huh,
right?
for sure. Fair enough.
If I, like, said something a little off and no one reacted, I would feel, like, more garbage than I would have.
More
to.
Garbage.
But that's definitely something that I, like, look for.
Yeah, that's fair. The thing is, though, I feel like almost depending on, like, my mood or, like, the people that I'm around and like how I feel about them, I would or would not courtesy laugh, even if those people are strangers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like your judgment of me could be misconstrued depending on like
sure.
how I
yeah. It's definitely not like the like
yeah
this
fair.
Person is now this way.
yeah
it's just like a weird thing.
Fair enough mind. Fair enough.
Yeah
anything else?
1:51. We have 9 minutes prime air time to say.
Brilliant. I mean, if there isn't anything else, by the way, any ghosts out there still waiting on that phone call?
Okay. Would you play with a Ouija board? Would you do it?
Hey, so that would creep me out. I'm not gonna lie. Like the whole.
Okay, there you go. Why would it creep you out?
It would creep me out because, I mean, wait, how does this work? You spin a thingy or something, right?
It's like a board with a bunch of letters on it. I think there's like a yes and no, and then some little.
Right, right.
I don't know, I feel like kind of teardrop-shaped mechanism thing that you all touch and it moves around according to what the spirit is trying to communicate.
Right.
You have to, like, say stuff to, like, release them and, like, send them back, hopefully.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize that was such charity work.
No, you're bringing them in. Like, you're kind of, like, opening a door to let them into this world, and then after you're done, if you forget to, like, say whatever, to, like, send them back.
Mm-hmm.
This is all knowledge that I've acquired through watching so many movies. Like, it's not...
Yeah.
I have no actual insight on, like, spiritual, you know, practices.
Fair.
Did you do it? Like, why does that creep you out?
It creeps me out because humans are pattern-seeking animals, like I've said before. So when something random happens, so you're spinning a wheel or whatever it is, we're going to look for the pattern that the wheel outputs. Right, if it's a name, you know, a word, right? I'm not going to be able to help looking for that pattern.
Right.
And I think associating it with ghosts and all that sort of stuff would freak me out. Because I think that's the thing about fear, right? It takes away your logical kind of mindset sometimes. You know.
But you can acknowledge. See, that's you can acknowledge that the fear is there, right? And it's fear because you're attributing it to the fact that there could potentially
yes.
be some supernatural force at work.
Right? Well, no.
No.
No, there's fear, but it's not a real fear.
So you could recognize, like, the fact that... You're saying, like, you'd be freaked out, but you'd recognize that it was, like, completely...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, it's like when you're watching a horror movie and you get scared, but you know that it's just stuff that's happening on the screen, right? Like, you know that it's fake, but you still get scared. I guess it's the same sort of thing. But no, I mean, in this context, you know, we're on a radio show talking about these things in an objective, hopefully objective manner.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're writing about this on an essay, I don't feel gripped by the same sort of fear as if I was actually doing some sort of spooky Ouija board game thing.
No, I mean, obviously, like, talking about it mediates that fear to an extent.
Yeah.
I also always believe that if I think something could happen to me, like, if I think, like, wow, I really net. So here's where superstition comes in. I do believe that if you put something out into the universe, like, shit's gonna happen. It has happened.
If you put something out to the universe?
Yeah, like, if you put out a thought, or, like, if you believe or, like, want something bad enough and you put it out there, the chances of it happening will increase. And whether or not that's because, like, I will just automatically, like, you know, self...
Yes.
Prophecy, that whole concept. Like, fine, I can, like, entertain that. I've taken Psych 1.
Mm-hmm.
But, like,
mm-hmm.
it's more just, like, I don't know. I feel like I don't want to explicitly say what I'm about to say, but how I feel is if I think something bad is going to happen to me, it then can happen to me because I already anticipated it. You see what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean...
like, there's... And then I'm like, there's no way I could predict my future. Like, that's so, I don't know, self-indulgent. And therefore, I'm safe.
I don't really know how to answer that, to be quite honest.
This entire night, I've been trying to stump you.
I mean, ultimately, I think that, I don't know, can we teach a certain mindset about things? Probably not. That's a funny thing.
All right, and with that.
Yeah, so I guess we'll cut to our last song of the evening. How am I going to intro it? Hey, so this is from... Stormzy's new album, Gang Signs and Prayer. It's not like a really grimy song. It's kind of more chilled out. The lyrics are really nice. He's talking about how his father came back to him after he got famous and, like, asked for some money, and he was basically like, "What the heck? You left me and my mum when we were really poor."
Oh,
yeah. So, you know, enjoy yourself. Anyway, I hope that you guys have been enjoying yourself. This is DJ Ding. I'm here with DJ Chan.
Oh.
And you are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, and I hope you enjoy the music.
Thank you. more time, I'll make it clear. There's some shit I hate to share. Skate this life, I'll pay the fare. Grab this gun and aim it dead. Shoot my pain and slay my fear. Before I die, say my prayer. Don't worry about the mess, just lay me dead. This is all I got, so lay me bare. Look, one more time, I'll make it clear. There's some shit I hate to share. Skate this life, I'll pay the fare. Grab this gun and aim it dead. Shoot my pain and slay my fear. Before I die, say my prayer. Don't worry about the mess, just lay me dead. This is all I got, so lay me bare. Lord help me, please, I'm breaking down. Trying to call my name and take my crown. Little bit of pain, I'll paint the town. When they put me in my grave, don't make a sound. Cause it's still some days I find it hard. Smoke my spliff and write my bars. I know they see me climb the charts, but plaques won't help me find my heart. Yo, God, what's good? I need you bad. Devils in my ear, I need you back. Got scars on my soul, I've been attacked. Even when I'm low, I seem relaxed. But the years been mad, I lost my way. They think I went ghost to drop my tape. Not knowing that I fell and lost my faith. Like Satan, please, no, not today. So fuck this shit, this ain't a joke. Just to get away, I take a talk. I took this pain and made a boat. Lord knows how the fuck I stayed afloat. Last year I cried too many times. Weren't for flips and weren't for rams. Weren't for Rachel, weren't for Kim. Man, them people save my life. Like, man, I get low sometimes, so low sometimes. Airplane mode in my phone sometimes. Sitting in my house with tears on my face. Can't answer the door to my bro sometimes. Roaming around all alone sometimes. Them known sometimes. I was a young Ned Stark, but this shit's like Game of Thrones sometimes. One more time, I'll make it clear. There's some shit I hate to share. Skate this life, I'll pay the fare. Grab this gun and aim it dead. Shoot my pain and slay my fear. Before I die, say my prayer. Don't worry about the mess, just lay me dead. This is all I got, so lay me bare. Look, one more time, I'll make it clear. There's some shit I hate to share. Skate this life, I'll pay the fare. Grab this gun and aim it dead. Shoot my pain and slay my fear. Before I die, say my prayer. Don't worry about the mess, just lay me dead. This is all I got, so lay me bare. Like, bro, I can't believe I saw my dad. Still up in the ends, been driving cabs. He said, yo, son, I need a car. I kiss my teeth and turn my back. That nigga, you ain't seen my face for years. Nigga, you ain't seen my face for time. And the first thing you're asking for is that. Fuck you, that's where I draw the line. Should've dashed through a rat like keep the change. And fuck letting go, I'll keep the pain. 23 years, I'm still the same. When you hear this, I hope you feel ashamed. Cause we were broke, like what the fuck. Mum did well to hold us up. But yet she still forgave your ass. But mum's these cool, I'm cold as fuck. Fuck that, I'm still not over this. Fuck that, no, I'm still not over this. Flips told me someone died in Heath. Like, please don't say I know the kid. When I heard TS, I kissed my teeth. And then I broke down in disbelief. My bro's CH and Yogi too. Man, I'll be damned to miss the street. But I still got old school friends that I should've been cool with. Man that I ride for, man I went to school with. Man that I love him, man I...